This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Dear brothers and sisters, when the Prophet ﷺ was in the cave with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they were all alone in that cave as far as human beings were concerned, and what stood between a religion of 2 billion people today and a religion that would have ended with the murder of two men were the feet of the enemies right at the mouth of that cave. And I want you to imagine that moment where Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu looks out and he sees the feet of the enemy, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his responsibility as far as he is concerned, taking care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and protecting him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looking to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and saying the words that 2 billion people recite today, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't be afraid, do not grieve, indeed Allah is with us. There's no need for you to be scared. There's no need for you to be sad. Allah is with us. And the certainty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the affirmation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would bring coolness and stillness to the chest of any human being, especially a Siddiq, the one who affirms the truth and affirms the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all that he says and all that he does. A few years prior to that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was himself affirmed by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore that your Lord has not forsaken you, nor has your Lord found you repulsive. And here the Prophet ﷺ is giving this affirmation to his closest friend, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It comes down, however, to something on an individual level. Are you confidently able to say that Allah is with us right now? What does it mean to say, Inna Allaha ma'ana, verily Allah is with us? And I'm not speaking about the theological construct here. I'm talking about in the way in which we intend it when we say it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, awnan wa nasira, as a means of support and as a divine aid. And if Allah is with you, then it doesn't matter who is against you. And if Allah is against you, then it doesn't matter who is with you. We ask this question to ourselves on an individual level. Is Allah answering my du'as? Is Allah pleased with me? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking at me with his divine favor? But how do we actually broaden that to ask ourselves, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us as a community? Is my family pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this a household that Allah looks to with his divine pleasure? Is this a masjid that Allah looks to with his divine pleasure? Is this a community, a country that Allah looks to with his divine pleasure? Is this an ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks to with his divine pleasure? And I want to take you actually to a verse that you recite every Friday in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 28, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَخْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, keep yourself patient with those who call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, seeking his pleasure. And do not look past them. Don't turn away from them, looking for the allure of this material world. And don't follow those and don't pursue those whose hearts have been veiled from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who follow their lowly desires, and whose affair is complete loss. I want to give you a visual to this ayah. We know the very famous story of Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the blind man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rushing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to some of the elites of Mecca. And Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he could not see, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa yas'a, in haste, grabbing for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, Ya Muhammad, alimni mimma alamaka Allah. O Muhammad, teach me from what Allah taught you. And he's not aware of the surrounding of the Prophet ﷺ and the meeting that the Prophet ﷺ just secured with some of the nobles of Mecca who had rejected his da'wah up until that point, partly because of the presence of people like Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abasa wa tawalla. The Prophet ﷺ frowned at a blind man. Meaning he wasn't hurting Abdullah ibn Maktum's feelings because Abdullah ibn Maktum could not see his frown. But the frown of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam represented something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw worthy of correcting. That it doesn't matter what these people think of you. What matters is that you surround yourself with sincere followers. That it is not the political strength or the material strength of those people that will secure your spot in history and more importantly secure your spot in the hereafter. But it is in fact the presence of people like Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Allah loves to see in this community and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed pleased with. And how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receive that admonishing? When he would see Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say, Marhaban, welcome, liman atabani Allahu fih, to the one who Allah scolded me on behalf of. Welcome to the one who Allah admonished me on his behalf. He would welcome him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I'll give you another visual. Qatada rahimahullah says that this verse was revealed in the general sense, of course, about the people like Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu and Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and those who were looked down upon. But he gave a specific sentiment. He said that it was revealed about Ashab al-Suffa, Ahl al-Suffa, who were the people that resided in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were at that time 700. Take a visual shot. And imagine the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in its humble means. And he looks out sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he has 700 homeless people in front of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's who Allah will give victory to. That's who Allah will give victory through. Yes. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Rasulullah, wasbir nafsaka ma'ahum. Keep yourself patient with those people. Don't just be patient with them in the sense that you tolerate them, but build a community of resilience, a community of patience. Because what Allah loves to see, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, that you see a people bowing and prostrating. There is no sight more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these masajid being full and the people in their ruku' bowing. Warka'u ma'a raki'een, bow with those who bow, prostrating, because there is no position to Allah that's more beloved to Him on an individual level than the position of sajda, where you lower your ego, where you lower yourself to your Lord. Man tawadha'a, and whoever lowers themselves, Allah Azza wa Jal rafa'ahu, Allah Azza wa Jal raises that person in rank. There's no sight more beloved of a community than that community in ruku' and sujood. We just came back from Hajj, may Allah accept it, from the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to them. And think about how beloved the sight to Allah of Arafah, 2 million people in ihram, with their hands to the sky, under the heat of the sun, disheveled, dusty, as Aisha radiallahu anha narrated in the Hadith Qudsi, crying, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their different languages. The king and the peasants equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla says, oh my angels, look at these people. Ma arada ha'ula. What do these people want? They want your mercy. They want your forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bear witness that I've forgiven this group of people. I love this group of people. I love this ummah. And subhanAllah, we are most pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal in that state when we are in our ruku' and in our sujood. Back to the ayah, back to the verse, and what it represents to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as is narrated, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala fi ummati man umirtu an asbira ma'hum. All praises be to Allah who placed in my ummah those who I have been commanded to be patient with. Alhamdulillah for an ummah full of Bilals, an ummah full of Suhaibs, an ummah full of Salmans. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates authentically, such a beautiful narration. She said, one night I was coming home from Salatul Isha and I was late. And when I got home, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me, "Ya Aisha, where were you?" She said, "When I was leaving the masjid, I got caught up listening to the recitation of a man." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Let's go and listen to him together." So imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha radiallahu anha walking the streets of Medina, listening to the qira'ah, listening to the recitation of a man. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Aisha, hadha Salim, Mawla Abi Hudhayfa." This is Salim, the free slave of Abu Hudhayfa. Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala fi ummati mithla hadha. All praises be to Allah who gave me in this ummah a person like this. Can you imagine? That was what was pleasing to the heart, to the eyes, to the ears of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah for an ummah of ruku'. Alhamdulillah for an ummah of sujood. Alhamdulillah for an ummah of Islam. And as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, when he entered into Jerusalem, and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to him, and he told him, this isn't the best look. The leader of the truly free world. Because we are a people who were freed, min ibadati al-ibad ila ibadati rabbil ibad, from servitude to slaves, to servitude to the Lord of all slaves. It's not a good look, Umar. Your thobe, the slave on the horse or the camel, it's not a good look. And he said to him that نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people who Allah gave dignity to through Islam. وَإِنْ ابْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ لِغَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. When we seek it through anything else, Allah Azza wa Jal humiliates us. If you were to ask every Muslim, what's your vision for progress? What's your vision of the Muslim world? What's your vision of the Muslim community? Different people will have different ideas, but Allah Azza wa Jalla tells you exactly what it is. It's a community that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that first and foremost is sincere in their pursuits of His pleasure. Sincere in manifesting the acts of worship, the commandments and the values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. It starts from that place. And I want you to appreciate for a moment that the Muslims were always the underdog. We were always the ones that were looked past. What does that mean? In Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ was followed by the lowest of society. In Medina, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, the Prophet ﷺ was keen to build relationships with the Jewish community in Medina, with the people of the book in Medina. He was keen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to build with them. But they looked at him, and it was one thing to say that the Prophet to come is not from Bani Israel, but from Bani Ismail. It's another thing to say, wait, that's your community? Those 700 Ahl al-Suffa, these migrants, they don't look like the community that Allah has chosen. They don't look the part. And when Muslims went to different parts of the world, when they came to this part of the world, you didn't look the part. Why? Because your value system is different. And if we were a people that were relegated purely to aesthetics, as beautiful as this masjid was, we would all be sitting on, you know, high chairs and pulpits and benches, right? We would wear golden shoes and golden slippers and golden hats. But the reality is that what's beautiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are these faces on the ground. And we sit on the floor in humility to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we start from that place. What type of community does Allah love? Allah azza wa jalla loves a community that worships Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a community that's in a state of istighfar, in a state of seeking forgiveness. This ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-Kahf, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Allah azza wa jalla says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That verily, Allah swears by time, that man is in loss except for those who believe and do good deeds, and they enjoin patience amongst each other. They enjoin truth amongst each other. They enjoin patience amongst each other. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Keep yourself patient with those people. Who do I want to be on my side? I want believers on my side. I want to be amongst them. أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. As Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, the very famous poem, I love the righteous even if I am not amongst them. I don't consider myself to be amongst them. لَعَلِّي أَنْ أَنَالَ بِهِمْ شَفَاعَ. So that maybe I can at least gain their intercession on the Day of Judgment. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, and he is who he is, he's saying, I have imposter syndrome when I'm amongst the righteous. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says to him, تُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَأَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ. You love the righteous and you're amongst them. We feel like imposters around you, but we want to enter ourselves amongst the righteous because we want to be raised on the Day of Judgment with those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So it starts off with that. And how is it that Allah azza wa jalla describes them? They worship Allah in the day and in the night, meaning in public and in private. In public and in private. Because the night worship is unseen. The public worship is the daytime worship. It is the values of Islam that are manifested. The akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a community that prays but cheats, that reads Quran but then lies in the next breath, that comes to the masjid with such observance of the etiquette, but is completely and entirely unethical in their daily business and in their daily affairs with everyone else, that puts their face on the ground in humility and sujood, but then enters into their home with arrogance towards their family. If you think that's the person Allah is talking about, wrong person. That's not who. Allah doesn't love a community of hypocrites. Because that ruku' and that sujood translates into something. It's a humility that overtakes your entire presence. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهًا. Why? Because they're seeking His countenance. They're seeking His pleasure. They're seeking His attention. Not the attention of other people. Not the pleasure of anyone else. All of them together have one audience, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, and don't look past them. Don't look past them. هَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنْصَرُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. As the Prophet ﷺ said, find me amongst the weak and the downtrodden. Are you given victory or divine aid except through your poor ones, your downtrodden ones? But on top of that, Allah says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَخْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Who are your role models? Who do you look to? Are you really following these losers? And I call them losers because Allah calls them losers. Who have been put up as symbols for you, as individuals or as communities, whose hearts have been veiled from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have become idols of gluttony and greed? Is that who you want to be? Is that what you want to look like? Is that your insecurity? That as a community you want to look like that? You want your society to look like that? You want to be that person? أَخْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. That's a person that is barred from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. They follow their lowest desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And everything that they've pursued, subhanAllah. فُرُطًا is another word for loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Verily man is in loss. كَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. That person is in loss. The Prophet said on the Day of Judgment, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you want to know who a bankrupt person is? Not a person with no money in their bank account. It's a person who has incurred through their tongue so much sin, so much sin, so much evil. Their affair is in loss. Everything they earned meant nothing. It only became a proof against them on the Day of Judgment. So subhanAllah, you can actually contrast. Allah says the community that He loves, the community that He is with, want Him. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهًا. They want Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَخْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. So these people pray day and night. These people are not allowed to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people are pursuing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. They are people that follow their lowest desires. There are those that worship the Most High, and there are those that follow their lowest desires. Look at the contrast. These are the people that will be given victory in this life and the next. These are the people whose affair will be complete loss. Some of the scholars say the word furuta here means they will fail to achieve happiness in this life or in the next. The most miserable people on earth are the ones who tasked themselves with happiness. They thought they could create a model of happiness and they could make their own happiness. And when they got to their top, they realized that they were at their lowest because it didn't give them anything. The fame, the money, all of it, nothing. It gave them complete emptiness and loss. And on the Day of Judgment, it is loss as well. How do we bring that back to ourselves? What is a community that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves? If you were to then take, dear brothers and sisters, every hadith or every ayah and then every hadith where Allah talks about a quality that He loves or a person that He loves, the more people that represent that, the more that that community is beloved. And so the more that you look to the ummah and you find those that manifest those qualities that Allah loves, the more beloved that ummah is. When you look at a locality, the more that people manifest those things, the more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. If you want to know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah is with the believer so long as the believer is with his brother, well then Allah is with the believers so long as the believers are with their brothers. You can easily maximize that. Grow the circle. Take every ayah, every hadith where Allah says that He loves a person or He's with a person and say, how many people cumulatively represent that? Where are we as an ummah with those ethics? How much do we represent of those things? The less we represent, the more that we incur the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more that we represent, the more that we incur the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, dear brothers and sisters, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about unity, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about a community that is together, subhanallah, it is in complete accordance with everything that Allah azza wa jalla mentions about those whom He loves in the masjid, those whom He loves in the battlefield, those whom He loves in the marketplace, those whom He loves at all times. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Allah loves those people who fight alongside one another. صَفًّا. Think about the rows of prayer. In lines, in rows. كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. They fight together in his cause for good things. They pursue his pleasure together, and they don't let anything come in between them. كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْسُوسٌ. They're like a well-fortified structure. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal loves the saf, the line of prayer that is straight. Where the Prophet says, do not leave gaps between you, lest the shaitan interrupt your hearts. Stick together the way that you are in your lines of prayer. Stick together. Why? Not for other than him, but for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah together. Do not become divided amongst yourselves. And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla started in this verse by mentioning the rope of Allah. Because those who lose sight of the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become divided over their lowly threads. I want you to think of the parallel. On an individual level, we become distant from the Most High when we succumb to our lowly desires. On a community level, we become distant from the Most High when we succumb to our lowly egos. All of the divisions that you find in our communities, all of the divisions that you will find in our ummah, even if they have the disguise of being for truth, you will find under that veil of truth a bucket of falsehood, batil, ego, personal agendas, division. Two people will divide an entire society, will embroil an entire country in chaos, will embroil an entire ummah in chaos because of their lowly egos. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that those people that came before you, وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا, they did not divide themselves, إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ, after knowledge came to them. Why? بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ, arrogance, ego, personal agendas, to where they lost sight of the bigger picture, and the only thing they could see was their big egos. And communities become divided. The ummah becomes divided. Why? Because we forget that bigger purpose. If you don't remember your higher purpose, you get divided over the smaller things. Every small division is inflamed into becoming a means by which you destroy yourself as an ummah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحَكُمْ. And so as a result of that tadazur, as a result of that division, you fail and your energy goes to waste. Your rih, subhanAllah, you think about this. How much energy is placed in division? How much energy is placed in drama? How much energy is placed with the ummah fighting amongst itself? And as a result of that consumption of energy, that consumption of the heart with ego and envy, that consumption of the community's mind and thinking space, that consumption of the resources of the ummah, who suffers? We all suffer. We all suffer. We all suffer in the process. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable for that. And I want you to think about this, and this is something that I put forward to my dear brothers and sisters. Think about the things that cause us to argue and to fight. And imagine being a person sitting in a tent in Gaza right now, hearing the drones and the airstrikes above you, having just buried 13 or 14 or 15 members of your family, and you get access to your social media and you start scrolling and you say, this is what my ummah has time for? This is what you're doing? This is what you're occupying yourself with? We're dying over here, holding down the fort literally for the entire ummah in this small strip of Gaza. That's what you're occupying yourself with, O Muslims? What drives us to that? You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with that? And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the best charity is islah, is reconciliation. Why? You give charity to an individual to feed their stomach and to alleviate their situation. You give charity to the individual to remove them from incurring debt. You give charity to the individual to uplift them in their circumstances. But what a charity to the ummah, a charity to the community. When you sit two people down and you cause them to reconcile and you squash their differences so that you save the entire community from a headache. What a charity to the entire community, a charity to their dunya and to their akhirah. But so few people are willing to do that, to be people of reconciliation, people of islah, people that sit people together. It's so much easier, juicier to gossip and to chew into the deadbeat of your brother. It's so much harder to be that person that says, I will hold this ummah together. I will hold this community together. When there are people that are fighting, I will get in between. I'll say, remember why we got here. Remember what brought us together in the first place. Let's grab onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stop fighting over these scraps. It's not worth it. We have bigger priorities as an ummah. This ummah cannot afford division. And I end with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي ثَلَاثٌ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I asked my Lord for three things. I asked my Lord that he would protect us, this ummah, from famine, from plague. And Allah Azza wa Jal granted me that. This ummah will not be wiped out by a plague. And subhanAllah, you can imagine how reassuring that was to the ummah under Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Aam al-Ramada, the year of the plague, where it seemed like the ummah was going to be wiped out. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah promised me this ummah would not be wiped out by a plague. And here we are, 2 billion people later. I asked Allah that this ummah would not be wiped out by an enemy. Israel is not capable of defeating the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand me? They are not capable. Our enemies are not capable of removing us from the face of the earth. They will inevitably fail. And Allah granted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that. But the third thing, سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ بَأْسَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. I asked my Lord that he would not allow their ruin to come amongst themselves, meaning that the disunity amongst them would not consume them and hurt them. And Allah did not give me that. Allah did not give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that. Of the wisdoms of that, dear brothers and sisters. Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of our externals. Allah will fix what is on the outside. But He's given us enough to fix what's on the inside. You have to take care of your heart, let Allah do the rest. Take care of your intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your outcomes and plan for you in your favor as an individual, even when you can't see the wisdom of the outcome. As a community, as an ummah, take care of what is amongst yourselves. Allah will take care of what's outside of you. But you have to fix your hearts. We have to fix our issues. We have to fix our problems. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look favorably on the day of judgment upon a person who brought chaos to this ummah. Can you imagine standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and you were a cause for disunity? You were a cause for disputes. You were a cause for the inflammation of egos. You were a cause for people hating one another. You were a cause for people cursing one another. You were a cause for other people to go to hellfire that otherwise would have followed a path of guidance. Can you imagine meeting Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment as an agent of division? As the scholars mentioned, it's better for someone to pursue a haram outcome, a lowly outcome, with a lowly means. A gambler gambles seeking something lowly. The alcoholic seeks something lowly. The drug lord seeks something lowly. Those that manufacture these pervasive and disgusting narratives in the world, they pursue something lowly. The concert is for the concert. But don't you dare use the deen of Allah, which is the most noble of gifts to you, to pursue something lowly. Use what has been given to you of greatness to pursue something great. Every single one of us is an agent of unity. And we have to ask ourselves, am I what Allah loves? Do I manifest the ayat and the ahadith on an individual level of what Allah loves? And then my household. Is this a house that Allah looks at and Allah loves? And then my community. Is this a community that Allah loves? And then we can say with confidence, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. Allah is with us. هَنِيًّا لِأَهْلِ غَزَّةَ. Glad tidings to the people of Gaza. The whole world can see their beautiful qualities. And so they can say with firmness, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. Allah is with us. Can we say, Allah is with us? May Allah make us worthy of Him being with us. May Allah make us worthy of His love. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba kulli amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbuk. O Allah, we ask You for Your love and the love of those that are beloved to You and the love of every deed that would bring us closer to Your love as individuals and as communities and as an ummah. Allahumma ameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.